And welcome to episode 64 of Speak Beastie for June 17th, 2018. I'm Amy.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Shannon.
I just...
And...
Oh.
That's it.
We're always so good at that.
It's gonna be a miracle if we make it through this
episode. Hey, happy Father's Day.
Yay.
Oh yeah, it's Father's Day.
Yeah. Woo. Nothing to do with fathers on this show.
Newt's a father.
So, in
Dumbledore's
other news,
daddy.
I believe before recording you said Newt's a daddy.
I said Dumbledore's daddy just now because I was like, those two have different meanings.
Yeah.
And I, yeah.
Okay. Well,
Amy was going to play something.
Moving on.
Okay.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Hey you, yes you, the magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint, just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind-the-scenes features. But wait, there's more! Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wigs Knees, and how!
And now for the Phoenix Register. So, yes. Before this episode, some breaking news... My toe, because I stubbed it really badly and broke my toenail off, which was...
How much of the toenail? Not like the whole toenail,
okay, it's
right?
The pinky toe. So there's not a lot of toenail to go with anyway. Yeah. It was a good chunk. There's less toenail than there should be.
In case y'all couldn't tell, we're actually a Fantastic Beasts podcast.
We're the beasts.
For a long-ass time, it's not been a Fantastic Beasts podcast.
And that, my friends, is how Ariel became Bigfoot.
Yes. Oh, we've come full circle. Oh my goodness.
This is where the show ends.
Yeah. Yeah, Amy's highlighting the news like, come on, Ariel.
Let's go, Ariel.
I'm getting your hints. I'm sorry. So in actual news, now that I've already said Phoenix Register, we do have actual news this time, but it's going to be pretty quick and short, which is nothing wrong with last episode. It's just they had a lot more to cover, a lot more news, and we don't. The first bit of news, in a previous episode... we talked a little bit about the Crimes of Grindelwald trailer being nominated for the Golden Trailer Award. And wouldn't you know it, it just won Best Fantasy Adventure at the Golden Trailer Awards, which took place on Thursday, May 31st in Los Angeles. It was up against Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, Solo, A Star Wars Story, and Thor, Ragnarok. So I thought that was pretty tough competition, if we're being totally honest. Yeah. But, you know, Crimes of Grindelwald took that baby home, took that award home.
Woo! Took it to the bank.
Yeah. where Pastries was happy about it. He was like, yes, we won something. That's not his accent. I don't even know what that was. That was just me trying to say something in a Niffler voice, but it was my voice.
Oh my God.
A little worse. So more news. J.K. Rowling has started work on the Fantastic Beasts 3 screenplay. Apparently, she wrapped up work on Lethal White.
There's gonna be a third movie.
Oh, oh my gosh. I was like, how many of these babies are they spinning out? It's crazy. So she wrapped up work on Lethal White just 2 months ago. And, you know, that gal, she doesn't take much of a break before moving on to her next project. So she did say that she's already working on writing the screenplay, which, knowing her, she's probably had an outline for a long, long time. But it's good to know that she's, like, writing before the movie's even out. Like, we've got months before the movie even comes out. So I don't know how these things generally work, but it seems like she's getting a pretty early start. I don't know. It's good. I'm fine with it. So she did admit that she initially found screenwriting to be very challenging at first. But she said the thing with movies is however frustrated you get with the screenwriting process and right at the moment when you think never again, this is too hard, you go down to the film set and join in with one big glorious game of pretend with the world's best pretenders saying your words and dressing out of the most fabulous dressing up box, and what with the lights and the smoke and the music, you're suddenly in love with the process all over again. So I think, you know, even though when she was writing Harry Potter, it was, yeah, I mean, I'm just speaking from like my experience. Whenever I write something, I always like to envision like, oh, what would this be like as a movie? But you never really think like it's going to be a movie. I think for her, having come from writing books to now writing a screenplay that she knows is going to be a movie, like that process must be really exciting. And like she said, you know, getting to see all the like the pretty costumes and the lights and, you know, the actors and everything, it must be just very surreal. So yeah, I think it's good that she's enjoying it. You know, wouldn't want her to hate what she does. But yeah, she talks a lot about the screenwriting process, and just, you know, the whole interview is on MuggleNet. If you look up the Fantastic Beasts film 3 or even just J.K. Rowling tags, you'll see it. It goes really in depth about really a lot about J.K. Rowling and just her writing process and all sorts of fun stuff. Even a little bit about Cursed Child, if you're into that sort of thing. Some people are, you know, like it was at the Tonys last night. So speaking of the Tonys and Broadway and New York, you can enter to win tickets to the Crimes of Grindelwald premiere in New York City, London, or Paris. So pretty cool that they're going to have three premier cities. Obviously, Paris makes total sense. Well, so do the other cities, but it's like, you know, everyone premieres in New York at some time or another. And this being a British film, London, of course. So anyway, information on how to win the tickets. Lumos is sponsoring the sweepstakes that will grant three winners a trip for two to the red carpet premiere of the movie in either New York City, London, or Paris. There'll be one winner for each city, and you can enter multiple times. Eddie Redmayne was actually the one who announced the sweepstakes in a video released by Lumos. If you want to go and find that video and see his lovely, lovely face. Also, Jude Law's in the video, which, again, more lovely faces to see. Each sweepstakes winner and a friend will win an American Airlines ticket to either fly to New York, Paris, or London. They will stay in a swanky hotel for 4 nights. The article's words, not mine. They will get 2 tickets to the red carpet premiere and get a meet and greet with the cast, which, like, hell yes. Go and do that.
Yes.
And, like, go say hi to our man Dan. But, oh my gosh. So, you can obviously donate at different dollar amounts. Every $10 is one entry, so the more money you donate, the more times you're entered to win. Lumos is also offering special prizes for people who donate a certain amount of money, like, donate 50 and you get a limited edition gold foil Fantastic Beasts print and 5 entries for a prize draw. Yeah, and, you know, obviously it's for a great cause.
Donate $2,500 and win and take us with you. You also get a signed copy of the screenplay, which
Whoa.
Is cool.
That's yeah, that awesome. Is cool.
Oh, and a limited edition display suitcase.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh.
If get only... that for my cosplay.
Right. Okay, who's got $2,500 they want to give us? But yeah, it's really cool. I'm going to probably, you know, once I get paid, try to enter. I mean, you know, I might as well throw my name in the bucket. See what happens. But when you do donate, you'll be asked to select which premiere you'd like to attend. So if you want to enter to win in each city, you should donate 3 times, which I think is awesome. Like, I would totally go to any of those cities. And if they're giving us tickets to fly to any of the cities, then I'm going to go to, like, Paris or London. I'm not going to New York. Right? I could drive to New York. It would be a day-long trip, but still. So yeah, anyway, that was my long-winded way of saying donate to charity. possibly win some amazing prizes. And, you know, meet the cast and see the movie and maybe avoid Johnny Depp for me.
Yeah.
I was going to say something meaner, but I didn't.
I was just thinking that if I won, I'd be like...
Because I don't want to get sued for anything. Not that I was going to say something, like, super mean. I am still a Hufflepuff. Okay, all I was going to say is punch him, but... You know, obviously don't do that.
That's so edgy.
He's gonna get punched by the person who wins, and they're gonna be like, Ariel told me to do it. And
I am not condoning. This is me right here not condoning violence. Obviously, that's why I don't like Johnny Depp. So anyway, that's it for the Phoenix Register. If you want to check out more Fantastic Beasts news, you know where to go. It's themugglenet.com.
Themugglenet.com.
It's like when it was the Facebook. The Mugglenet.
Well, it's not the Mugglenet. It is themugglenet.com. I don't know if the Mugglenet takes you anywhere. Let's check.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Try it.
It does not.
The Mugglenet. We need to hop on that.
Yeah.
What is that? What is that I hear?
Ooh.
I guess I'll never know. All right. Cool. Cool. Elusive owls. So it turns out we've got some owl post, which is great because last time I was on, nobody had anything to say to us. Is that proper grammar? Forget it. So
yeah, does this mean we don't get to have karaoke time?
Oh, yeah, we can always have karaoke time, Amy.
That's what the main discussion is for.
Yeah. Surprise.
Deleting
Shannon
everything
just
else
ruined
know.
It. Gosh. Now they know. So yeah, for the outpost, we asked for your thoughts on transportation. It's more of a collective we. None of us were on last episode. Max said
it was a really good episode in case anyone hasn't listened to it out there.
Yeah,
I don't know why you wouldn't have. I mean, it's 2 hours, but
yeah. And if you're like, do I want to watch most of Titanic or listen to some Speak Beastie? And you know,
they talk about boats in the episode.
Yeah, so you,
boats,
you gotta
boats.
It's kind of boats like an extended time turner. So I obviously enjoyed it a lot.
So Max said, hi beasties, congrats on breaking the Megan slash Michael curse. You guys forgot the Zeppelin though. Parentheses, I was born in the town where it was invented, so ellipses, parentheses. I I don't know.
This
why.
Is a very thorough reading. I like it.
Yeah, no. So, as Max says, Apparition also has kind of a range limit, so it was a decent decision by Newt to board the boat. I think the most convenient long-distance travel wizard can do is to use the Muggle infrastructure, parentheses, except if you have a home connected to the flu network at the arrival point, e.g. family living across the country, parentheses, period. Every single wizarding traveling method isn't very comfortable and or not suitable for longer distances and or not great for taking a lot of luggage. Combined with apparating to train stations slash harbors slash airports, that would be the best idea. Most of the stations even have shops around, so you can open a cafe or similar run by wizards. a cafe or similar run by wizards, which is connected to the Flu Network. Sorry, that was
a good idea.
That was difficult for me to read as a human person.
I'm trying to think, like, this is interesting that apparition would have, like, a range limit. Like, I'm trying to think of the farthest we've seen somebody apparate.
I bet some dumbass was like, I'm gonna apparate to the moon. And they were like, okay, well, we have a range limit now.
Yes.
I don't know why that sounded very 1920s when I said that. I'm gonna apparate to the moon.
I think she's just said that it's like, it's harder to apparate the further you go.
Yeah.
Like, most people couldn't.
Yeah, because, like, part of you have to, like, envision it a little, right?
Yeah.
So I think if it's too far, maybe it's a little too hard to envision.
If you haven't been there before, it'd be hard.
Yeah. What's it called? Splinching?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it for the outpost. Amy, take it away with the main discush.
All right. The last episode lucked out and had big news happen before the episode. We were not so lucky.
we're
almost not going to get a main discussion. Yeah. But lucky you, we came up with something. So today, we're just going to take you guys through the cast list as a refresher, because there have been some new additions, and if you're like me, you keep forgetting who we knew about and who is really new news, so this is probably good and beneficial for all of us involved.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
I think they touched on a couple of these last week, but...
I bet they didn't touch on this one. Guys, Eddie Redmayne plays Newt Scamander.
What? Ooh. Again?
He will reprise his role.
Okay. It's an interesting choice.
All right. Let's jump on into the good stuff. So, besides all the obvious ones that we already know, let's jump in at this one. I think we all know it, but Claudia Kim is playing Maledictus. Now, I believe we still don't actually know her name, because isn't Maledictus the creature or
the condition?
The condition. So, and then Callum Turner is also going to be in the movie as Theseus Scamander, which we've discussed at length.
Yes.
Are we sure it's not pronounced the Seuss?
That's all I'm calling him now. The Seuss Scamander. The Seuss Scamander.
And what if he was a doctor and he could be Dr. the Seuss?
Oh my gosh, you've cracked it all open. He's been Dr. Seuss this whole time.
Dr. the Seuss is
that
a wizard.
Oh my
all
gosh,
of the creatures
this is...
And like the Grinch and like the Lorax.
That explains everything.
See, they're guys. All inspired by his brother's work.
Exactly.
Isn't that sweet?
This is why I used to be a Ravenclaw.
You used to be. Uh-huh.
I can't say it so much anymore because I come up with things like that.
All right, so the Seuss Scamander. Do you think he's related
besides
to Newt?
The Seuss. Victoria Yeats is Bunty.
And so Bunty is Newt's assistant.
Which is relatively new info, like, what, a couple months ago we found that out? So that's cool.
But there's more. Shannon?
She went to Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And she's a lovely, sweet character.
Yeah. This is what the people come here to listen.
Yeah.
And the actress spilled that, and then the actress was like, I can't say anymore.
So
she hasn't been in any of the, like, trailers or clips or anything, which is interesting that, like, but she's Newt's assistant.
Yeah.
Which seems important.
When did he decide he needed an assistant? Because I feel like he needed one a long ass time ago, and it's like, did someone decide for him, like, here's Bunty. You need her.
Yeah.
You can't handle life.
I was wondering if, like, if he already had an assistant, but she wasn't traveling with him. You know, she was just at home base.
But
then
what kind
of assistant
is that?
The animals over there were good.
No.
Because theoretically, the animals in his case are ones he's collected.
Mm.
Nah.
So maybe she was back home.
I don't like your theory.
Sure, okay.
No.
She was like, do I need to come with you while traveling? And he was like, no, everything's fine.
And then she hears about New York and she's like, no, it's not.
She was like, should I make sure the beasts live or should I make sure Newt lives?
Yeah.
Both.
He'll be fine. What's that Parks and Rec thing where she's like, he's like, I have complete confidence in both of you. And then it cuts to him being like, there's like a 30% chance they'll both die.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
That's Bunty in the second movie talking to Jacob. And
oh, can we do like a whole like mashup of like Fantastic Beasts and Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
Fantastic Parks.
Fantastic Parks and where to visit them.
And where to wreck them. Yours is better.
Yes. I love it.
Oh my gosh.
And then next on the list we have, oh god, I'm not gonna be able to say this name. Somebody in the common room is going to correct me after this episode drops.
They're gonna correct you now. They're just that on it.
They're gonna astral project into the Skype call.
Okay.
Strange.
Here goes. I'm going to get like, I don't know. They're gonna send me to the moon with apparition. It's gonna happen. So it's Ólafur Darri Ólafsson. I don't know how else you would say that. Is playing.
Sounds like someone who's pretending to not be Count Olaf. Just saying.
Yes, that is it. He plays Skender.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he's the owner of the circus.
Yeah. So he's the guy responsible for muggles seeing all this stuff going on in a circus. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess we don't really know how important he's going to be.
Yeah. Does he just kind of like
in like one scene maybe?
Yeah. He pops on scene, sings a couple songs with Hugh Jackman and then
yeah. Listen, if Hugh Jackman was in this movie,
oh my god!
To think,
just plot twist.
Oh,
we could have had Hugh Jackman as Grindelwald.
Oh,
oh man!
Don't even say it.
No, because they should go to Australia in a later movie,
oh,
and then
god.
Have Hugh Jackman there.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I feel like there's going to be a lot of beasts there.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Eleanor would really love it if they went to Australia.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got to cover all of our bases.
There's got to be stuff for Newt to look at in Australia, like...
Like yeah. Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, Hugh
specimen.
Jackman calls up Newt and is like, all right, we think we have a beast problem here in Australia. Can you come stop by? And Newt's like, yeah. And Newt comes and he looks at all the animals and he's like, nope, these are not magical. These are for you guys to deal with. Bye.
I love how you were just like, and Newt's like, yeah. I love when you do, like, you imitate Newt, and it's just like, he just says, like, really non-Newt things.
Yeah, and he just sounds like me.
Yeah, bro.
It's weird.
Yeah,
tense. Yeah, bro.
100%.
Of course, whatever you say, Hugh, because Hugh Jackman's just playing himself. He's immortal.
Yeah. Of course. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yep. And Abernathy is making a return.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
But he was like, he was cute.
Yeah.
He was funny.
It makes me wonder though, because like originally I thought we were just going to see like Grindelwald breaking out of Makusa prison or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But now like I'm wondering like, are we actually seeing more of Makusa? Because why would Abernathy be there in that situation?
Yeah.
So like,
and I mean, I guess we're seeing Serafina, definitely, so.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So Abernathy probably won't be in it a lot, but.
Yeah.
My theory is Grindelwald's trying to escape, and Abernathy's like, hey, wait, where are you going? And he's like, oh, I've got lady problems. you can check my suitcase if you want. And Abernathy's like, no, that's okay. So, Abernathy lets everyone get away.
Uh-huh.
God damn it, Abernathy. You know what would be amazing? If Grindelwald escaped by pretending to be Abernathy, and then he was Abernathy for the rest of the movie.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Any excuse to not have Johnny Depp in the movie at all.
And then Hugh Grant shows up and, you know.
Yeah.
We're just gonna think of every situation where Hugh Grant can somehow make an appearance.
Wait, when did he
Wrong the other Hughes. I'll take both Hughes. Like, I'm good with that.
We're just throwing Hughes in left and right.
Hugh Grant can join the party too. And next on the list is not Hugh Grant or Hugh Jackman, but it's the actress Fiona Glascott, which she still doesn't have an actual role listed, which is interesting because we've known about her since October. So, like, why have they not assigned her character on this list? Mm-hmm.
She's there.
She's there. You might know
her.
And
she's not, like, she's, like, an actress who's, like, done stuff.
Yeah. You might know her from the film Brooklyn. Oh. Like, she was the girl in Brooklyn. That was a good movie.
Saoirse Ronan, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, so she doesn't have a role, so that's interesting. Wonder when we'll find that out.
I mean, like, she has a role, but, like, she's just name.
Right.
She's playing Hugh. She's playing Hugh.
She's playing both Hugh Jackman and Hugh Grant.
Hugh Jackman Grant.
Which is interesting because Hugh Jackman and Hugh Grant are playing girls from Brooklyn.
Yeah. This is just totally... What did I say at the beginning? It was all going to be downhill. Well, here we are.
Downhill's the best part. It's all the fun. Okay. Can't say you're not having fun.
Well,
it makes sense, though. We did all the work before we started recording. That was the uphill.
This is
So now we are going downhill.
This is true.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Fiona may not have her role announced yet, but we finally found out who Jessica Williams is playing. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. She's Eulalie Hicks, which is an awesome name.
So she's a professor at Ilvermorny, not the professor. I assume that's
the only.
One.
The only. Teaches everything. And
she's going to play a more prominent role in the next movie. So, but she's going to be in this one.
Setting the stage.
Yeah.
So next on the cast list is Poppy Corby Toot. Blah, 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 blah.
You got this.
Yeah. Is Poppy Corby Tooch, who is playing Vinda Rosier, which I think is kind of interesting. We didn't have her first name for the longest time. Like, I kind of wonder why they held that back. Like, what is, like, was it a spoiler? Is there some significance?
Because
I remember originally we thought, oh, maybe it's something in the family tree that gives it away, but I don't know.
Vinda is an ancient city. Vinda is a Chinese paper company. Vinda is the last name of an Indian cinematographer. And Vinda Karandikar is an Indian poet and writer. So, you know.
Hmm.
And it's the Hungarian name for Ginda village in Romania.
Okay.
So the more you know.
All right. Yeah, I have no clue why they kept that from us.
Yeah, it sounds like it's nothing.
Yeah.
You'd think they would keep Rosier from us.
Right, like that would be the spoiler to me. But maybe somebody made that mistake. Maybe they were supposed to just release Vinda, but somebody accidentally released Rosier.
They were like, don't release her full name. Oh, okay, Rosier.
Whoops. So also, like, another familiar name that we've known about for a bit is Torkil Travers, who also, I believe, was first just released as Travers. So obviously we know that there is a Travers later on, obviously a descendant of this guy. He was a Death Eater, killed Marlene McKinnon. He took part in the chase of the Seven Potters. He served on the Muggleborn Registration Committee with Umbridge, and he was the Death Eater that the trio ran into when Hermione was disguised as Bellatrix when they were going to break into Gringotts. So we know kind of where his family, his descendants end up. So that's kind of interesting.
It is interesting to have like two Death Eater names on this list.
Right.
And Rosier, we definitely know is a bad guy. She's working for Grindelwald. I guess we don't necessarily know with Travers.
We can assume
turn out. But like basically I'm saying that means they must live through these movies. Unless it's like their siblings or cousins or something have kids, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Grindelwald, we know he lives. He gets arrested, but
right. Like I don't want to say that like all families have the same ideas and values as their parents and so on, but I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say that it would make sense if Travers was with Grindelwald, just with the way the ideals kind of line up and how that probably got passed down through generations.
Now, we know that Travers in Fantastic Beasts, like, works for the Ministry of Magic.
Does he? Do we know that?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so he's there. He's one of the ones talking to Dumbledore in the trailer.
Oh, I missed that. Oh, that's interesting then, because then the Travers that we know about in Harry Potter era also worked at the Ministry when it was run by Voldemort, basically.
Well, I think it would be cool to have someone, I mean, you could easily have someone who works at the Ministry end up being evil, but like, it would be cool to have someone with
Umbridge,
like, an evil name, but who just isn't evil or morally corrupt in any way.
Yeah, interesting. I feel like that's what they're trying to do with Leeta, though, so, in a way.
Yeah, they just have her be so mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of the Lestranges.
Yeah, we have Mrs. Lestrange, played by Sabine Crossan. Mm-hmm. So, that's interesting.
But that is not Leeta's mom. It is Leeta's dad's second wife.
Mm-hmm.
Because Leeta's mom is later on this list.
Because we can't not have more complicated families.
Yeah. But I guess this Mrs. Lestrange could be Credence's mom. Mm. If Credence is indeed, you know.
Well.
Yeah.
Their kid.
Because I still don't know how old Credence is.
Man, I don't know either.
I need some answers.
I would guess, like, I don't know, teens?
Yeah, like,
yeah,
I
they said he's not a child, so it's...
Yeah.
I thought, like, maybe 18-ish or so.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, because they said, oh gosh, it's just so... It's like they were trying to kind of tell us, but then Ezra Miller is obviously older.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, to me, a little difficult to tell. My age gauge is, like, horrible anyway. Like, if you're between 18 and 50, I don't know how old you are. Like, honestly, I'm just like, I don't know. But I feel like, because they said, oh my gosh, I don't know. I forget everything I just said, basically. It's too much. I don't even feel like getting into it right now, because that... No, it's just so confusing. And then, like, if he is Leeta's half sibling, you know, just the whole, like, I guess, you know, he's younger than she is, but you know what?
We don't know how much younger.
Yeah, and like, because how old is Leeta? I don't even know.
Newt's only supposed to be like 26 or something like that. Mm. He's definitely supposed to be in his late 20s.
Well. By the
younger than Eddie. And Credence is definitely younger than Newt.
Yeah.
I would guess, like, maybe, like, 16?
I don't know.
I don't know. That feels...
I think he's older.
I feel so much younger. But I just... I don't know. I just feel like 18. But even then, I'm like,
yeah, I don't know.
And it's
like, I could see him being, like, 21 or something, but they just haven't made it clear.
Yeah, but just, like, the way he acts and everything, it makes it seem like... He's kind of, I don't know. It's a very, his character still keeps me up at night. I'm like, what?
Someone who is definitely old and is in this film is Nicholas Flamel.
He's an alchemist.
Yeah.
Played by...
Oh, God. You're going to make me say it, aren't you? Brontis Jodorowsky? Jodorowsky? I don't know.
That's about what I'd say.
Sure.
About what I'd guess.
Roll with it. Good old Brontis.
Yeah. Didn't a couple episodes ago, I don't remember who, but someone had a theory that they're going to Nicholas Flamel to get help with, like, separating the Obscurus from Credence without killing Credence. I thought that was a good theory. Well, because he has I guess I don't know for sure if he has the Philosopher's Stone, but the Philosopher's Stone can keep people alive, so.
What's this Philosopher's Stone you speak of? I only know of a Sorcerer's Stone.
Don't you know anything? God.
No.
The Falafel Stone?
Falafel Stone? Is that one of them Infinity Stones? Is that what Thanos is after?
Mr. Scamander, I don't feel so good.
No.
Well, I mean, the Philosopher's Stone, I guess, can, like, give you infinity, in a way.
Sure. It's the same thing.
What if the Philosopher's Stone is one of the Infinity Stones, though?
What if Nicholas Flamel made all of the Infinity Stones?
Whoa.
Oh my gosh. Nicholas Flamel is the key.
Infinity War was the most ambitious crossover, but just you wait.
And that's why Captain Marvel is set in the 90s, because Harry Potter was set in the 90s.
Yes.
We solved it, guys. We cracked the case. That's it. We're going home.
She's Street a wizard. Smart.
Perfect. So, speaking of my mind being blown.
Yeah, right?
So, also on this cast list, we have, I'm going to mess up this name, too.
I like Alwyn, that you're in charge of main discussion.
It starts with an F. I don't know.
Fueri?
Maybe?
Let's go with that. Yeah. If I butchered it, then fine.
Okay, so anyways, a few episodes ago, you may remember... In the new case, I decided to talk about the Melusine, which is like a sea creature, like siren type mystical thing. Well, on this cast list, this Alwyn Fuare, that's wrong, is playing Melusine. So, I didn't know that when I did that new case, and Igor sent this to me, and my world was, like, shattered, and I'm in awe of myself for knowing this at the same time that I did not know this. So, that's a thing.
It's very cool. I'm very excited.
I
sound so excited, but...
I just can't wait for the day when it's, like, Ariel Taransky playing Bigfoot. Like, yeah. I dropped that applesauce jar on my foot and now I'm Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Cool story.
Now, hey. I'm excited about the Melusine showing up and us seeing the origin of Starbucks.
Yeah.
Because that's surely what has to happen.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, I'm gonna look up when Starbucks opened. Delete my time timer.
I think it was in the 70s, if I remember correctly from that new case.
That's when they want us to believe it was open.
Yeah, it was open in the Wizarding World in 1928.
It was open
in Paris, France,
for Muggles afterwards.
Yeah.
This is a name I'm not even going to attempt to say. But this guy plays Grimson.
Want me to try?
Yeah, go for it.
Ingvar Egger Sigurðarson.
Wow, that's better than I would have done.
We're going with it.
You just gotta say it with confidence, you know?
Yeah. I have so much confidence and so little reason to have it. Like, it's fine.
Oh, boy. But apparently this Grimson guy is a bounty hunter.
So. He's a bounty hunter?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he's like, we know nothing else.
That's all we know.
So he's like the Boba Fett.
He was alive in the 1920s and he was a bounty hunter. We're a wealth of knowledge. Cool.
Still going to call him the Grimson Chin.
There you go. And then continuing with this one name theme.
Crawl
the Warrior King. Next.
Yeah.
Anybody seen How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
No.
No? Neither of you?
Yes.
Sorry.
Amy, yes? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yay. We got one. Oh, God.
Crawl works for Grindelwald. That's all we know about him.
And he was also alive in the 1920s.
Yes, that's so true.
Ooh, we're getting tidbits about these folks.
Sakurai.
Okay. Ministry of Magic, Witch. I think we can skip over that. That's boring. Senior Wizard. Senior wizard. Elderly Wizard, whatever.
But we're finally getting to names we can pronounce.
Okay. So... Arnold Guzman, we talked about him a little bit when that was first announced. We still have no clue who this dude is. So yeah,
he has a full name.
Yeah. Right. He has a first and last name. He was also alive in the 1920s.
Hey, guys. He was in Captain America Civil War.
Yes.
Who did he play?
Atache.
A what?
Atache? Attache.
It was with
okay.
The people from, wow, my mind is totally
Wakanda?
Oh my god. Yeah.
Okay. Amy, right. You can't be friends with us anymore.
I swear I am a huge Marvel nerd. I'm just
right.
I can't
let me kick you out of that group real quick.
Like how your toe was injured, my mind is just
you stubbed your mind.
Injured. And I don't know what to
do. You stubbed your brain
I
earlier.
I stubbed my head.
That's called a concussion. Go take care of that.
You need to go to the hospital.
My toe is gonna be fine.
Why is life so hard?
Because I'm in your life and I make things so much harder than they should be.
Oh boy. Okay.
And I'm sorry.
Then we have Nasir Jama, who plays Makusa Prison. I don't know if that's supposed to say.
He plays the prison.
The whole prison.
That's a really cool role, just saying.
Oh, man. If it was, though, like, oh, the personification of the prison, like.
He played a role. That would be really interesting. Wall.
Thing. It's like when you're in school plays in elementary school and you're like, yeah, I was the tree.
Yeah.
I'm the prison.
I was really good at playing a locked door.
Well, apparently not if Grindelwald escaped.
True.
So pretty sure that's supposed to say prisoner.
Nah. I think it's correct.
There was one... That just like random person, and it was wizard, but with two Z's.
Who writes like, this?
Yeah,
come on,
wizard.
IMDb,
I'm wizard. The wizard.
Let's see. We can skip Muggle at Circus. We know Muggles are somehow watching this circus. Mm-hmm. Ministry of Magic Witch. So again, Ob's going to see the Ministry. Okay.
Parisian cafe worker.
Yeah. These, I think, is interesting. There's a few different ones on this list that are acolytes.
Sorry, I was reading ahead.
Yeah.
There's just some funny ones that I'm really excited about.
There's some good stuff. But, like, there's all these acolytes on this list. Like, I think there's, like, three. So, like, what are we doing that's religious that requires acolytes? Like,
I don't know.
There's like three that I counted.
Yeah.
Acolytes are a thing in Dungeons and Dragons.
Maybe we're just playing Dungeons and Dragons.
That's how I know where what they are.
But other than that, yeah, there are some real good ones on this list.
You know, here's something interesting. I was playing Dungeons and Dragons, and in a way, an acolyte came to my door because Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door while I was playing Dungeons and Dragons. So
that's wild.
I don't know what that means, but
there's some guy named Yarwood that we don't really know who that is either.
Yarwood.
Then we have a wand seller, which I thought that was interesting. Like, where are we going to see a wand seller? Are we going to see like a Paris Diagon Alley type situation? Are there, because there's shopkeepers on this list too.
Mm-hmm. I believe in the last episode they mentioned that like she's an uncredited background person in the first movie.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
She finagled her way into the second.
She's an uncredited background actor in a lot of movies.
Bigger role.
Really. Now You See Me Too, Bridget Jones's Diary, Doctor Strange, Wonder Woman.
I feel like if you're on IMDb credited as something, how does that count as uncredited, you know?
Because you're not in the credits of the movie.
I'm just saying, Shannon.
I know, I'm also just saying.
You would just listen.
Gosh, okay.
I swear.
She's diffusing the situation.
She was also a stand-in for Tilda Swinton in Doctor Strange. And she was a stand-in and photo double for Phoebe Waller-Bridge in Solo.
Oh. Cool.
She's gotten around. And she's finally getting credit for her work.
She's good a wand seller now.
So there's also then Spielman, who I know we've talked about in the past.
Eric probably shit his pants over it.
Right? Played by a German actor. And I know Ario like actually explained who this guy is. But I guess he's pretty famous in Germany. Wolf Roth.
That's a good name.
But we still don't know who his character Spielman is and how he fits into this situation.
He's probably connected to Grindelwald in some way, right? Because
that's kind of what German. I was thinking. Let's see. There's a sailor. So, yeah. There's that.
Sailor Moon.
Yeah, and there's a couple, like, ferry passengers as well. So I wonder if he's on the ferry.
Right. Like, I'm wondering, like, how cute would it be if we got another intro with Newt arriving on a ferry.
Oh. Yeah, that would be cute.
That would make my heart happy.
If every movie started on a boat.
Adorb.
Whispering to Dougal.
Aww.
So cute.
The good old days.
Get to the good one.
Yeah, this is a good one. All right, Shannon, why don't you take this one? Because you know more about this than me.
So then we have a person with a name who plays Lorena Kama, and she is Lita's mom, Lita Lestrange's mom. So presumably her dad, I think her dad is named Corvus, dad's first wife. We can definitely see her name on the family tree.
Kama Chameleon.
Which, like, what the heck happened to her? Like, what the heck?
I don't know, but she's in the movie.
So weird.
And then a few names down, we have Yusuf Kama, and he's that guy we see in the circus. There's like a shot of him in the trailer.
Oh yeah.
So he is somehow related to Lita's mom.
Ooh. Get to the next one. That one's really good.
What, Ministry of Magic Wizard?
Which one?
Sean Coleman, teenager in hell.
Yeah.
I laughed like, so hard at
of
that.
Of all the characters.
Oh my god.
That's the one I was like, I cannot believe he's finally going to be in the films, you know?
I know.
I was like, I'm waiting, and oh my gosh.
It's like, just been so long since we've seen a teenager in a house. This kid's going to be in the Artemis Fowl movie, apparently.
Hmm.
Yeah, I just clicked on his name. He's not Artemis Fowl, but yeah.
Oh, well then
is he
cares?
Another teenager in a house? Maybe that's his specialty.
He's Recon.
Just like the guy who's really good at playing prisons, this guy plays a killer teenager in a house.
It's a killer queen.
So, like,
what else we got here?
Okay. Oh, we have prisoner 001.
Okay.
He's actually got a number. That's kind of awesome. We have a Frenchman in a hotel.
Teenager in house, Frenchman in hotel. What's going to be next?
Then we have Credence's aunt, which is another interesting one.
I remember her coming up before, but we know nothing about.
Yeah. We don't even really know her name. We just know she's Credence's aunt.
She's pretty.
Yeah. We have another ferry passenger.
Mm-hmm.
We have, this is what I want to be credited as if I'm ever in a movie, the pretty Parisian.
Yeah.
There's an amphitheater wizard, which there's also on this list. I'm just scrolling because I know it's farther down.
The amphitheater.
The amphitheater audience.
Ooh.
So I was like.
Uncredited, though.
Yeah. Is the amphitheater the scene that we see in the trailer where Grindelwald and Rosier are, like, on that platform? And there's the audience around them? I think maybe. Them? So that's what I'm thinking.
That would make sense. There's a lot of people there, to be credited or not. And Now, I like the next one, the rowdy Frenchman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. And then right after him is the pub landlord, so I'm assuming that's why he's rowdy. I think he's had a few.
Haven't we all?
Surprisingly, I don't think any of us have so far. No. Shockingly. And then we have Stebbins. I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
And a doorman, probably at the hotel that the Frenchman is at.
Mm-hmm. The Frenchman in hotel, not the rowdy Frenchman.
Yes, yes. You've got to distinguish here. And then we've got the very descriptive red-haired young witch. Okay. I like this one. Old Carney.
Well.
There's a French mum in the cafe.
Maybe she's the mom to the teenager.
Oh.
But the teenager's in the house, not in the cafe.
The teenager had to stay home. He was grounded.
Yeah.
We have an Auror, circus workers. Orrs.
We got Auror Chang and Young Auror.
Yeah.
Related to the Cho?
Maybe.
Maybe. Party guests.
I feel like J.K. Rowling doesn't always, I don't want to say use the word hope. She's deliberate about her names.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
She wouldn't use the same name twice.
Yeah.
Except especially for Mark when Evans. Like one yes! is, like, yeah.
Poor Mark Evans.
Oh, that'll go down in history.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
She'll never make that mistake again.
No. Let's see. This I thought was interesting. It's uncredited, but an employee of the French magical department. So I guess like we're seeing three magical governments, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
We've got Makusa, we've got the Ministry, and the French
Magical Department. So I guess instead of
department?
Ministry of Magic or Magical Congress, it's French Magical Department.
Yeah.
Well, except it would be in French, but that's the English version.
There's someone called Spectrum.
Now that sounds like a spy.
Yeah. So kind of weird, though, because it also says it's uncredited. Like, that's a very specific name to be uncredited.
Yeah.
It is.
There's another French Ministry of Magic uncredited. Played by Sean White, the snowboarder.
The Sean White.
No, it's spelled differently.
Well, again, it's not Ministry of Magic. That doesn't mean anything. It's just French Ministry of Magic. He is the Ministry of Magic.
Yeah, he is the Ministry of Magic. The whole building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what have we learned from this list?
We have learned that Warner Brothers is being very creative in how they portray locations. They don't have to spend money on location scouts because they just have the talent scout do the job and employ someone to play a location. I mean, it's very innovative.
Yeah. Well, and I bet, like, you know, the teenager in the house is also, you know, like, portraying the house. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's, like, interpretive.
Very. So artsy.
Yeah. Anyway. I do feel like I have a better idea of all these people, who all these people are now, because I definitely forgot a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And that acolyte thing is probably one of the most interesting.
Yeah.
Ones that we don't know. Ready for the time turner?
So ready.
Let us go back to the 1920s, as we usually do. And let's just talk about the bee's knees. Because I know, like, a couple episodes, the time turner was etymology, and Michael talked a little bit about some 1920s phrases, and they talked a little bit about the bee's knees in the last episode. But I just wanted to go deeper into where did the bee's knees, the phrase, come from. So, we don't know. Long story short, spoiler alert. But I would recommend, if you like grammar, go and listen to Grammar Girl. But she specifically has an episode where she talks about the bee's knees. So, search that up. That's where I got a lot of this. Basically, the bee's knees originated in the late 18th century when it was used to mean something very small and insignificant, which is pretty much the opposite of what we don't really say it a lot today, but how we know the phrase today. Today, we're like, the bee's knees. It's great. It's fantastic. But that is not what it originally was known as. It was originally something very small and insignificant. Ooh. So it was by the 1920s that it got the connotation that we recognize. It took a little while. And so basically in the 1920s, there were a lot of phrases like that. I mean, we've probably all heard the cat's pajamas.
Yes.
Yeah. The cat's whiskers. Interestingly enough, the cat's pajamas, I read, probably at least partially came about because pajamas were still like a new cool thing. They didn't have pajamas before the 1920s. I don't know. I didn't go deeper into that. I don't know why it's connected to cats, but okay. But probably the bee's knees is one of the most famous ones that's stuck around, and that's in part because there was a song called Bee's Knees. You can still find the sheet music for the song, and if you go and listen to the Grammar Girl episode, she got her friend to sing a little bit of the song. It's very cute. Some of the possible origins, some possible theories, are that it's short for the be-all and end-all, the bee's knees, the bee's knees. Or that it's a, like, corruption of the word business. Like, it's the business. It's the bee's knees. But nobody really knows if it's either of those, or if it's just two words that rhymed and people were like, this sounds good. Bee's knees.
Interesting.
It's funny if you go to, like, the transcription for the Grammar Girl episode or listen to the episode, she has some stuff about, like, from the 1920s talking about slang and being like, the kids these days come up with all this slang. This year, it's the bee's knees. Next year, who knows what it'll be? And I'm like, wow, nothing changes. And finally, the bee's knees is also a cocktail that was invented during Prohibition, made with gin, lemon juice, and honey. So, yum. Drink up. It's the bee's knees. And that's it. I just wanted to do something small.
I like
and
it.
I really wanted to say bee's knees a lot. I have a Dungeons and Dragons character named Bree Bee's Knees, just so everyone knows. So that's the end of the time turner. Let us go back to present day. Here we are.
Well, this certainly was the bee's knees.
Aww.
So that does it for this episode. And our podcast question is, what theories do you have about the characters we have little information on? So send us those theories to, once again, save you all from karaoke hour with Amy and Ariel.
Which, like, why would you want to? But sure, fine, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed I didn't get the performance. But
I know. Well, we'll have to sing out of the show. It's fine.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you on all those theories and anything else you want to send us. So drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets or email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com. You can also leave us a review on iTunes. We're also on Spotify, so definitely let us know what you think of the show. We love to hear from you guys and get your feedback.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpeakBeastie, Facebook.com/SpeakBeastie, SpeakBeastiePodcast.tumblr.com, and support the show on Patreon, Patreon.com/SpeakBeastie. You should do that because then you can join our common room, which is, of course, the best place on the internet. But, yes. You know, I'm not biased.
It's the bee's knees.
It's the bee's knees. I love saying that.
I'm Amy.
I'm Ariel.
I'm Shannon. Case closed.